The headlines: a young Palestinian man succumbs to his wounds that he sustained by Israeli gunfire during an attack in the West Bank city of Jenin. Russia says it is now in full control of Ukraine's last stronghold in the eastern region of Luhansk as a series of deadly blasts hit a Russian city on the border. Thousands of residents are ordered to evacuate Sydney as torrential rains batter the Australian city and floodwaters inundate the outskirts. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shah Ahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. A young Palestinian man has succumbed to the wounds that he suffered during clashes with Israeli forces. 19-year-old Kamal Abdullah Alwani came from the northern occupied West Bank city of Jenin. He was shot in the abdomen and right hand after Israeli forces raided the flashpoint city on Saturday. Kamal was named after his brother, who was also killed by Israeli forces in 2003. At least 77 Palestinians, including 15 children, have been killed by the regime forces this year, 28 of them in Jenin. Israeli forces regularly carry out raids to allegedly make arrests in populated Palestinian communities, particularly in Jenin. The raids have grown more violent and frequent since a number of deadly anti-Israeli operations in recent months. Israel has managed to take control of a large swath of Palestinian territories through the use of force and aggression, following decades of ethnic cleansing, artificial redrawing of borders, and discrimination against non-Jewish people.
Racist policies are enshrined in Israeli law. However, one specifically denies 6 million Palestinians the right to return to the territory from which they were expelled only a few decades ago. The same law, however, permits Jews across the world to settle in any part of Palestine. Such practices, including the racial fragmentation of Palestine into zones of control, where half of the population enjoys full rights of citizenship denied to the non-Jewish half, have led most human rights groups and advocates to label Israel as an apartheid state. Meanwhile, Israel continuously and explicitly rejects international consensus and seems to have found strong support for their radical position from the Texas Republican Party in foreclosing any chance of a Palestinian state from ever being established.
Violence and instability are perhaps a good thing because violence implies that there will be resistance to this land grab and this denial of Palestinian rights. And as far as I'm concerned, the more resistance, the better. And Palestine needs to do resistance, and it needs its friends and allies to participate in resistance. I know that the policy of Iran and Syria and some other nations is to support Palestine in this kind of resistance. And in fact, it is now going in the direction that the entire world is saying, well, we're not going to listen to the United States anymore and NATO, for example, because the United States has now declared sanctions against so many countries that those countries are unifying amongst themselves to defy the United States. So we may be entering a new period when, unfortunately, violence, but resistance and most likely violent resistance is the only answer to the warmongers.
Though party platforms do not necessarily translate into government policy, critics cite the former U.S. President Donald Trump and the support enjoyed by Israel amongst powerful religious figures, as well as fringe elements in the U.S. society, to argue that the most extreme and rejectionist views about the apartheid have become normalized in U.S. politics.
A recent Texas platform has gone beyond all previous Palestinian positions ever adopted by an American party, in line with plans to establish what is often referred to as the Greater Israel. The regime, along with Washington, seems to be pressing on with its pursuit of the expansion of the ethno-nationalist Jewish domination to every inch of historic Palestine.
In further signs that support for Israel has morphed into an extremist position in the U.S., the Texas Republican Party has approved a platform that will make it illegal to create a Palestinian state in territories controlled by Israel. The platform, approved by 5,100 delegations in Houston, supports the prohibition of a Palestinian state within the so-called historical borders of Israel, as they claim it would jeopardize Israel's security. This platform, in essence, only lays the groundwork for further Israeli aggression and discrimination against Palestinians. Currently, as many as 12 million people reside in historic Palestine, but full rights are granted by the regime to Jews only, leaving the remaining 6 million non-Jews prone to various forms of racial discrimination depending on their place of residence. But does this type of platform represent the thinking of the U.S. as a whole when it comes to Palestinians, that they shouldn't have a right to their own land?
The United States has a long tradition of denying people their land rights and their homeland. We've done it to 500 nations in North America. So this is not at all surprising that they would say that the Palestinians should be denied their homeland. At the same time, the Zionists are immensely powerful and have powerful friends in the United States. So, particularly in the power structure and the political structure.
All this poses some serious question about the future of Palestinians in light of the U.S. and Israeli plots amid what seems to be international silence over the matter.
Intense fighting is raging in eastern Ukraine, with Russia saying that its forces are now in full control of Lysychansk. The city is Ukraine's last remaining stronghold in the Lugansk region. A short while earlier, the Russian Defense Ministry reported that its forces were fighting Ukrainian troops inside the city after capturing the surrounding villages. With Lysychansk in their hands, Russian troops will be able to move further in Donbass. Just last week, they captured Severodonetsk, another major city in the east. In the meantime, Russia's border city of Belgorod, 3 people have been killed and several others wounded in several blasts. So far, no reactions from Kiev. In Berlin, hundreds of people march into the streets to discourage the German government from intervention in the Ukraine war. The demonstrators carried banners denouncing arms supplies to Ukraine as well as nuclear weapons. Germany has offered substantial support to Ukraine, sending billions of dollars in military aid and heavy weaponry. That is in line with a policy adopted by certain Western governments to support Ukraine. Those governments include France, Britain, Canada, and Spain. The United States has so far allocated nearly $7 billion to military assistance for Ukraine. Russia has always warned such arms deliveries would only fuel the flames of war. NATO countries and Russia have been fighting an information war over events in Ukraine. While major Western media outlets are focused on the loss of life and damage from Russia's military campaign, there are Western journalists who are offering an alternative view of these events. Johnny Miller reports on a German journalist facing jail for reporting Ukrainian atrocities in the country's east.
Selina Lipp, a German journalist who has been reporting from the pro-Russian Donbass region of Ukraine for over 6 months. She recently received charges from the German legal system threatening her with 3 years in jail.
On 24th of February, I shared on my Telegram channel the news I said that Ukraine is killing civilians already for 8 years. And I also said that this is a genocide and that people here in Donbass support the special operation of Russia. And this is a criminal act for Germany.
But Ukraine has been killing civilians here for 8 years. That's just, I think,
that's
controversial.
That's a fact. I'm filming here for half a year now, and I'm living in Donetsk, and I'm hearing all the day this shelling around me, and this is not Russia.
And another one it says there is that you said that most people here support the separatists. That's a fact as well.
Of course.
A few days after Alina's charge sheet was issued, the main German TV channel ARD ran a story reporting that the Russian army was bombing Donetsk, but they weren't. It was the Ukrainian army. The next day, the channel published a retraction and apology. It's not clear how many people who saw the report also saw the retraction.
The courts have also taken €1,600 out of Alina's bank account, money given to her by members of the public who are appreciative of her work. They also say that she is not allowed to defend herself at a hearing. Now, I've read the document, and the only conclusion I can draw from it is that either the German courts are trying to prosecute honest journalists, or that, frankly, they don't have even the most basic grasp of international politics. I'm not sure which one is more damaging to the credibility of the German legal system.
They just want to put me in prison for 3 years, but not hear me out. I mean, what? It's unbelievable. And especially they open this case because I'm sharing my opinion. So there's no free speech anymore in Germany.
Luis Cervea, an independent Spanish-Russian journalist who has been reporting on the suffering of the Donbass people at the hands of the Ukrainian army.
At first, I received a lot of hate comments, hate in general. Then I received also harassment from different people, pursued me. They published my phone number, all my private information. They even published an address of a flat where I used to live.
While Julian Assange faces the prospect of spending the rest of his life in jail, he is not the only journalist under threat of imprisonment for telling the truth. Alina, like many other independent journalists, have been deplatformed from some social media outlets and has had her PayPal account suspended. Anti-war sites Consortium News and Mint Press have also had their PayPal accounts suspended in an attempt to cut off funding.
The job of a journalist is to uncover stories so that society can debate and implement policy based on their findings. Now, while mainstream outlets don't even send reporters to this part of Ukraine, the few Western reporters who are here risk their lives and their reputations to uncover important truths. For that, they risk being deplatformed, smeared, or sent to jail simply for doing their job. There's increasingly a worrying campaign by tech companies, governments, and courts to strangle anti-war dissent in the West. Johnny Miller, Donetsk.
In Australia, thousands of Sydney's residents will have to leave their homes as flooding hits the southeastern parts of the city. More than 200 millimeters of rain have been recorded in many areas. As a result, local dams and rivers are starting to spill. The Water Bureau is a warning of a serious risk of flash floods and landslides. Officials are asking people to avoid unnecessary travels. The government says the emergency services and military troops are on standby to help people. The rainfall will continue for at least the next 2 days. And July 3rd marks the anniversary of a deadly U.S. attack on an Iranian passenger plane. The U.S. shot down the airliner over the Persian Gulf after it took off from Bandar Abbas International Airport. All people on board on the plane were killed in this tragic incident. More than three decades on, the U.S. has refused to acknowledge any wrongdoing.
The U.S. brought on one of the deadliest disasters in aviation history 33 years ago on July the 3rd by shooting down an Iranian passenger plane. Iraner Flight 655 was en route from Tehran to Dubai. It was on its usual path when it was shot down by the U.S. Navy's guided missile cruiser USS Vincennes, killing all 290 passengers and crew members on board. 66 children were also among the victims. The then U.S. administration claimed that the crew of USS Vincennes had identified the Iranian Airbus A300 as an attacking F-14 Tomcat fighter. Vincennes was traversing the Strait of Hormuz inside Iranian territorial waters, and at the time of the attack, Iraner Flight 655 was within Iranian airspace. Tehran declared the incident an international crime. It said even if the warship crew had mistaken the Airbus for an F-14, the tragedy was the result of the U.S. Navy's negligence and reckless behavior. Iran took its case to the International Court of Justice, but the case was settled out of the court in 1996 when the U.S. agreed to pay compensation. Washington maintained that the compensation was not a legal duty and was only based on an ex gratia. Although U.S. officials claimed the attack was a mistake, they never apologized to the Iranian nation and even awarded USS Vincennes commander Captain William Rogers. He was awarded the Legion of Merit decoration for what was described as exceptionally meritorious conduct in the performance of outstanding as a commanding officer of the Vincennes. The citation made no mention of killing innocent civilians on Iraner 655. When the matter was taken to the United Nations Security Council in July 1988, then the U.S. Vice President George H.W. Bush defended the Vincennes crew's action. He said, given the situation, the officers in question had acted appropriately. Bush noted, "I will never apologize for the United States. I don't care what the facts are." Succeeding American officials took the same approach. Over three decades on, still no justice for the victims of the one of the deadliest incidents in aviation history.
That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, July 3rd, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, or messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an eQSL card or an electronic QSL card from us. So, here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Najmuddin from Bangladesh, Francis Lawlor from Ireland, and Federico Correa from Italy. So, Najmuddin, Francis, and Federico, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And dear listeners, a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Here we've received an email from Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India, one of our old and regular listeners. Robbins Ferraz Pedroso from Brazil has sent us an email. Najmuddin, who has sent us a reception report this time, has sent us an email from India, of course. Wu Xianan from China has sent us a message, an email. And from the Netherlands, one of our regular listeners, Rob Den Boer, has sent us an email. Stay with us, please. After a short break, I will be back with these emails. So, here we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners called Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India. Let's see what Siddhartha says. Here I submit audio file of your broadcast. Hope it will be a great help for you and your technicians. Kindly send me your program schedule, calendar 2022, sticker, stamps, and other promotional material, which is available in order to represent your radio here in India. Be safe and fight against coronavirus. Hope all of your staff are safe. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Siddhartha Bhattacharjee from India. And many thanks for sending us this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a verification and confirmation to you. And regarding your request, Siddhartha, about sending you program schedule or calendar or sticker stamps, generally, the promotional items of IRIB English Radio, you know, at the time of pandemic, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our great listeners is not possible. Maybe after the pandemic is erased from around the world, we can send you the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. And regarding your wish about being safe against coronavirus, let me tell you good news. It's for some days that, actually for a month, that the rate of coronavirus death across Iran has become zero. And Iran does not have any victim from coronavirus anymore. And I can tell you for sure that the mortality rate of coronavirus in Iran has become zero. And there are just a few cases of this virus in Iran because almost all of Iranians have been vaccinated against this virus, and we are so happy that Iranian fellow people are safe and immune against coronavirus. Thank you for your wish, and here I wish that all our listeners and all people around the world be safe against this virus, including in your country, India, and, around the world. So we wish you all the best, Siddhartha Bhattacharjee. Please accept our electronic QSL card for the time being. And Robens Fras Pedroso from Brazil has sent us an email. Let's see what Robens says. Of course, Robens is one of our regular listeners. He says, "Dear friends, I have had the pleasure of listening to your station during its transmissions a few days ago in English. I'm living in Bandeirantes, Brazil. I am an agronomist and I have, I am 52 years old. I will be grateful if you send me a QSL verifying this reception report. That's to say, you please send me a letter or a card where you include a specification that I have really heard your station, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Robens Faraz Pedroso from Brazil. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Of course, we will send you an electronic QSL card as a verification for the email you sent to us. Write to us soon. And Robens, why don't you tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast? So, after a short break, I will be back with other great emails from around the world. And from China, we've received an email from Wu Xianan. Let's see what Wu says. "I am a radio listener in Shenzhen, China. I hope you can issue me a radio listening certificate card or QSL to prove my listening. I hope your station provides the listeners with a QSL card, schedule, flag, etc. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, and of course, IRIB English Radio to you, Wu Xianan from China. We're so happy that the signals of our radio, of course, your radio, IRIB English Radio, are well received in Shenzhen, China. Thank you very much for sending us this message. Of course, we send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Yes, regarding your request about sending you schedule, our frequency schedule is available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Yes, there you can find our frequency schedule, but sending you any material at the time of pandemic around the world on behalf of IRIB English Radio is not possible. So for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card, Wu Xianan from China. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And again, from India, we've received an email from Najmuddin. Najmuddin says, to the Islamic Republic of Iran, broadcasting IRIB in English. Assalamu alaikum. Please find the reception report of me received here in Murshidabad, West Bengal, India. I heard a piece of Islamic music as well as my very favorite program, Listeners Special, in which listeners' letters, mail, and messages are read. Kindly send me new program and frequency schedule, printed QSL card with some used postage stamps. Salam and warm greetings to you, Najmuddin from India. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Please accept our warm gratitudes and appreciations to you for sending us this email. So, the signals of IRIB English Radio are well received in Murshidabad, West Bengal, India, and that makes me so happy. So, your favorite program is Listeners Special, and that's great. My colleagues, of course, will send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation, and the frequency schedule is available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And sending any souvenir or material at the time of pandemic is not available. So, for the time being, please accept our, of course, electronic QSL card. Najmuddin from India, we are looking forward to hearing from you soon. And after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Welcome back from Netherlands. We've received an email from Rob Den Boer, one of our regular listeners. Let's see what Rob says. To the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting English service, it's my pleasure to confirm your broadcast, and I hope my report is correct. My name is Rob Den Boer and live in the city of Heinoord in the Netherlands. Please listen to my audio recording attached, waiting for a reply from your side. Salam and warm greetings to you from IRIB English Radio and from the Islamic Republic of Iran. Thank you very much for sending us this email, Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. So you live in Heinoord in the Netherlands. I wish I'm right in pronouncing the name of the city you live, because I don't know Dutch. Anyway, thank you very much for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Yes, we received with honor your audio recording and we listened to it. Thank you for that. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And we wish you all the best. So before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, I want to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, including Najmuddin from Bangladesh, Francis Lawlor from Ireland, Federico Correa from Italy, Siddhartha Betocharji from India, Robbins Faraz Pedroso from Brazil, Wu Xianan from China, and Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Please write to us, tell us your views about our broadcast, and keep in touch with us. Be safe. And stay safe and healthy. We wish you all the best. Have a good time and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The concept that I want to talk about is one that if it was embodied, and especially if we could learn this when we were young, or even before marriage, is the concept of learning to be fair and soft. To be fair even when we're not treated fairly. Even when others aren't observing their responsibility to us. Or another one would be, we get criticism. Sometimes when people get criticism, they're hyper defensive to say that I'm a good person. Can't even hear what the person, like interactions with others are for us to learn how to better ourselves. So this idea of insaf, this, if this trait was embodied, and again, this has applications with our children. It has applications with our spouses. It could prevent a lot of preventable divorces if people had this trait. With our co-workers, with our friends, with the others that we're interacting, this idea of insaf. How important is this concept of being fair? The hadith tell us that on the day of judgment, there are three groups who will be the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thalathatun, from Imam Sadiq. Thalathatun hum aqrabul khalq ila Allah azza wa jal yawm al-qiyamah. Three groups. The closest to God. When you listen to these traits, you'll see that each one of them goes back to this concept of being fair and sometimes when I'm oppressed. Let's listen to the first one. Rajulun, a man who his power, the idea that he has power over him, when he's furious, his anger doesn't overwhelm him or allow him to oppress those who are underneath him. We might be in a position of power. I have co-workers. I have family members. I have people who, I'm a father. I'm a mother. I'm a wife, whoever I am, there's certain people who, because I have power over them, if I get angry, my anger could lead me to oppress those individuals. The first one, it says, رَجُلٌ لَمْ يَدْعُهُ قُدْرَتُهُ فِي حَالِ غَذَبِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَحِيفَ عَلَى مَنْ تَحْتَ يَدَيْ. Their anger doesn't lead them to go over and oppress those who are underneath them. The next one is also very important. Again, you see the concept of being fair. The hadith says that a man who is walking with two people, this man is walking and there's two people with him. And it says that he's so fair, such a just person, that even in the slightest, he doesn't incline more to one person than the other while he's walking with them. Even the behavior that I have, we're walking, I'm looking at this one, I'm looking at this one, I'm talking to this one. Not that it's kind of more favorite. This is a favorite, the hadith mentions. They say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was so fair, even when it came to eye contact. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كَانَ يُقَسِّمُ لَحَذَاتِهِ بَيْنَ جُلَسَائِهِ. So you're sitting in a gathering with Rasulullah. He's speaking to you. The amount of fairness of Rasulullah is such that even when he's speaking to you, it's not that because sometimes you'll get it. I remember as a young student coming up in the Hausa and you're speaking, some of your audience members pay attention to you. They're nodding. You can see that they're interested. And other people, you don't listen to the phone. You don't know what they're doing. It's natural that you kind of tend to hone in on the person who's paying more attention. But the Prophet was, everybody would get the same treatment. After that comes the part, though, that the Urafa had mentioned, back to our original discussion, about being fair. One of them, those people who are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Rajulun Qal al Haq, a man who says the truth, Fima alay wala. Whether it be for this person, whether it be against this person, I say the truth. Instead of being hyper defensive, whatever I say, I don't want anybody to even think badly of me slightly. I can't admit that I made a mistake also. Throw out the baby with the bad water. Now that I'm angry, everything about my spouse, my child, my friend, my co-worker is bad. As opposed to, no, I can admit the stuff that they're doing that's right. And then yes, if there's some mistakes, I also see that as well. Or if the person turns it around and now it's me, but they've wronged me, is it that I only lash out? Or that, no, I'll admit that yes, this was a mistake actually. Being unfair, this is what the advice that some of our ulama give us. When we're unfair to family members, when we're unfair to our loved ones, and we won't give them even the rights that Allah gave them, it gives a message, which we may have never intended, to make the person feel unloved. Sometimes we might do an action without any sort of intention. There's no wickedness behind this, but that action carries a message. What's the message of arrogance? You are so unimportant to me that your rights, you know, our family, remember this being fair to others, even in the time when we're tested, is not when everything's hunky-dory. It's a time when people are making mistakes, right? The test of iman is then, the hadith says, Al-Mu'min, I'm quoting one from Amir al-Mu'mineen, it goes something like this. Al-Mu'min, the believer, man yunsifu, man la yunsifuhu. The believer is the one who is fair to the person who isn't fair to them. That's how I know. What the Urafa tell us is this. Sometimes when we're having an argument with those who are close to us, we're the kind of people who normally, if it came to a co-worker, to a non-Muslim, to a stranger, I would remember that I have certain rights. I would behave professionally. For instance, in the ayat of the Quran, Allah tells us, قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Say good things to people. We know, all of us instinctively, if somebody does me a favor, I should appreciate it. I should notice it. Let's say this stuff wasn't ingrained in me. It wasn't because of my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reminder of the Urafa, and this is for me, by the way, it's not that I need to hear this, is that sometimes we tend to forget all of the rulings that this person is also minan nas. This is also a mu'min, my family member. They're also one of the mu'mineen. The rules that apply to an-nas apply to them, right? Some of that, all of that goes out the window, and then that was just anger. And instead of us being fair. Actually, what Amir al-Mu'mineen tells us to do is to try to push ourselves. We have a beautiful hadith from the Imam where he's describing the people of taqwa. One of the lines is this in the khutbah of Hammam. He says this, يَعْتَرَفُ بِالْحَقِّ قَبْلَ أَن يُشْهَدَ عَلَيْهِ. The believer is the person who doesn't wait until you confront them with evidence and you show them, you bring witnesses, and then you say that what you did was wrong. No, the believer admits the truth before the evidence is brought. That's how much being fair is ingrained to me, that real iman.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمني صل عليه.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
A major benefit brought by Imam Khomeini was familiarizing people with concept of resistance. This is the part of the speech delivered on June 4th, 2022 by Imam Khomeini, the leader of the Islamic Revolution. On the 33rd demise anniversary of Imam Khomeini, greetings be upon him. Imam brought the people to the arena, showed them the way, kept them in the arena and steered them away from despair and hopelessness. I said that Imam was a fighter. This means that Imam was continuously present in the arena of rising for the cause of God. Imam was truly vigilant about rising for the cause of God. The establishment of the truth and justice was naturally Imam's goal. Well, how can this goal be realized? The establishment of the truth and justice was Imam's goal. But is it possible to establish the truth under the hideous roof of the Pahlavi regime and every other dependent regime? Naturally, no. So the next goal is to bring down this roof. Therefore, Imam tried to remove the hideous roof of the Pahlavi regime for the nation and lay the groundwork for their movement, their uprising, and their progress. Let us split open the roof of the sky and lay out a new design. This is a poem by Hafiz, the Persian poet. This included both a rejection and an establishment.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
First, the rejection of the Taghuti regime, and then the establishment of a desirable political system which could move the people forward. This was Imam's movement in the area of rejection and establishment. There were a number of outstanding points in the movement of Imam. First of all, there was no fear in him. He did not use to fear and flatter. He was outspoken and had an eloquent tongue. This dates back to the revolutionary era in Qom and Najaf. He would speak to the people and would constantly explain and guide. His tongue was truly a decisive dhulfiqar with which he would move things forward. He was outspoken. He trusted the people. One of the most important qualities of Imam was his trust in the people from the first day. There were people who wanted to fight, but who said that the people would not follow them? However, Imam believed from the first day that if we entered the arena, the people would follow.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.